Can I get approval of October 10th, October 17th regular and special meetings?
I'll move that.
Second. Discussion. All those in favor? Opposed? Carry. Motion to postpone resolution 486 for 1 month. Second. Discussion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carry. And a motion to postpone 432 for 1 month.
I'll make it.
Second.
Second.
Discussion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carry. Resolution 479. Can I have a motion?
I'll make that.
Second.
Second.
Discussion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Motion carried. 573. Can I have a motion?
Move that.
Second.
Second.
Discussion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Can I have a motion to block resolution 601, 602, 603, and 604?
I'll move that block.
Second.
Second.
Discussion. All those in favor? Opposed? Carried. On the block, I have a motion. Second. Discussion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. 605. Can I have a motion? Second.
Second.
Discussion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? 606. Can I have a motion?
I'll make it.
Second. Discussion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. 608. Can I have a motion?
Motion.
Second.
Second.
Discussion. All those in favor? Opposed? Carried. 609. Can I have a motion?
I'll move it.
Second. Got a second?
Second.
Second. The only discussion that I'll add to this is that, again, I think we've talked about this every year that this gets brought up, and the question about whether or not printing an actual hard copy magazine is even this day and age worth it. I question whether it actually has any return on our investment. So, Chair Tuff? Can you use your mic?
Yes, sure. Sorry. So the amendment amount is $7,696. Can someone just clarify for me? It's just an increase in the annual cost?
Yeah, okay. An additional.
An additional $7,696.
43, if I don't have it in front of me, but I think it's 43.
It was 45 now, it's 53.
Yeah, there you go.
And this is all just for the printing of those?
That's how the backup is, yeah.
I agree. This is what I believe even the throughway centers now aren't even allowed, right? They're not even having a place for some of these things anymore. I'm ready whenever you are to be done with it.
Yeah.
It would be nice to have some data to support your impression that it doesn't do any good. There's a substantial portion of just residents in my district who do not own computers. So the idea that all tourism is digital, I think it is, I haven't seen data to support that. And we know that when we didn't print these types of brochures 20 years ago, 15 years ago, that our tourism dollars were way down from what they are now. So I think if the system isn't broken, it'd be good not to try to fix it, unless you've got something that actually backs up your impression.
I think it's hard to prove a negative.
I would just say maybe we should ask the tourism department to put together some figures on numbers of copies that have been distributed and tourism dollars in given years and or the year following. Look at that data. I think we can get a sense about that. And the tourism experts that have grown tourism in this county by orders of magnitude believe in this, and we've had very good tourism numbers. So I think that it's true that the world is moving more digital, but that tourism will be aided by our doing that. When we're talking about an expenditure of $50,000 roughly, I find, this is like, why would we do that?
offer that the tourism department has a lot of data on the use and distribution and how this does support the tourism industry in the county, and be happy to have this presented. And also, I do believe that this cost is inclusive of a recycled paper content. It's all recycled, I believe.
Chair Martel?
I was going to go after
Legislator Cahill.
Thank you. Hope you guys can hear me. I'm going to request that you please use your microphones, because when you don't, I can't hear you. There is data available through the tourism department to justify the use of the travel guides. And one of the places where they use them the most is when they are at trade shows and various other events where they're setting up their Ulster County tourism table. And my understanding is that these fly off the table. And their concern that the tourism department has right now is if they're going to have enough to last them until the next group is printed. That's how quickly these are going. So whether or not, you know, they're useful or not, I have to believe that they are. Otherwise, why would people take them, right? And so, again, you know, during our committee meeting last month, the director of tourism emphasized that they are a valuable asset to their overall operation and encouraged us to please keep them going. Thank you.
Thank you. Chair Martel.
That's okay.
Legislator Mahoney.
I've long talked about picking winners and losers. There's only a couple of small business owners in the legislature, and I'm pretty sure we all do our advertising ourselves. We don't get the government to do it for us. Though I have it on the other side of it where the local Chamber of Commerce, which I'm a member of in Saugerties, not Ulster County, will highlight another liquor store in Saugerties on the cover. I'm always like, we're paying the same amount, but everybody's going to pick this thing up and go to the other liquor store. And I've said it before, I heard our director of tourism refer to a campground as a business partner, a county business partner. I mean, there's like 100 campgrounds. I would be all for picking an industry, certain industries of tourism like campgrounds, and helping all campgrounds be part of some kind of a map for Ulster County. But all we're doing right now is picking certain winners and losers, throwing it into this fancy book, printing it up, and I guess they're being taken at trade shows. I don't know. What is a trade show? People go to, or a tourism show. Like, I've never been to a tourism show. Is that where people go to, like, find out where they want to travel or something? I thought it was a place where other tourism departments go to share. So they have other tourism departments taking our, that's where most of them are being taken. I'm ready. It's 2023. I am ready to be done with these books. I got four kids. I travel a lot. I've never used one. I've never actually seen anyone use one. I'm sure a couple of people take them here and there and go to the places we select, but with your tax dollars. But that being said, I'm ready whenever we got 12 legislators ready to experiment with saving this 50, 60 grand and doing something more digital and all-inclusive of all businesses in Ulster County.
That's fair enough.
The tourism department has made real efforts to address the idea of winners and losers, and over the past many years, so that's an old saw and it's rusted. And I think that the members of the Economic Development and Tourism Committee should know what trade shows are, should go into the department and have somebody take them to a trade show so that they will understand how to enhance tourism. Running a small business in Ulster County is great, but that does not necessarily make a person an expert on tourism and how to have it sustain our economy, which it has been doing. So it's really important, I think, that people know what they're talking about if they're going to recommend changes to a system that is working very well for Ulster County.
So I live about 5 minutes from the walkway over the Hudson and go there often to walk. And right at the entrance is the kiosk where we have our tourism information, local maps, restaurant information. And it's often empty. I know that they are taken by people. I know that they are used. And yes, digital is a great market also. But some people do like written material and to take that home and to read it and then come back to visit again. So maybe we could just look at the number that we're I think it should be an option.
Thank you.
And just one last point. I believe this contract covers the cost of printing. However, most of this expense, if not all of it, and that's the number I can get for you, is offset by revenue that comes from the advertising in the actual guide itself.
Yes, if you could provide it, that'd be great.
Is significantly off.
Thank you. Ms. Harriman?
Thanks. It's not extra work for the administration if this list already exists. Could they send the legislature just a list of the locations where these publications go out to?
Thank you. All right, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. 611, can I have a motion?
I'll make it.
Second?
Second.
Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? 615, can I have a motion?
I'll make it.
Second?
Second.
Discussion? Chair Bartels.
I just have a question. This is for $600,000. Is that the actual, does that cover the actual cost, or is this an estimated additional cost? Do we have an actual final cost?
This is going to be estimated to the end of the year, and the estimates were provided by the Office of Mental Health to us what they need in order to finish the year out. Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Any other discussion? All those in favor? Opposed? Carried. 616, can I have a motion?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Discussion?
Just a general comment, and something, you know, speak to the executive about in more detail, specific as to this and the next several resolutions, mental health. I know we separated out the departments, something I strongly support, having a department of mental health, and I was here when, you know, when we actually disempowered our mental health division that was in county, and we went to outsourcing a lot of the services. I noticed in this series of resolutions coming up that a bulk of the work that we're doing, we're still outsourcing through our actual department. And I just want to state on the record that I hope that we start, and I know it's expensive, fairly aggressively moving towards bringing it back in-house. You know, I hope, you know, once I'm gone, that I read more about mental health services being provided rather than through contracts through county employees. So, again, I just want to state that as an overarching comment, but I know it's one after another. Mobile mental health, outsourced. The next one, outsourced. So I'd really like to see these things come back in. We know how important these services are, and there's not enough that we can do.
So you're still?
So I'll just echo Chair Bartels' comment about this and share further that one of my frustrations with this series of resolutions that we received is that a lot of the contract renewals that we reviewed this week in the Health Committee for DSS and for mental health did not include the wage information that we have been asking for to be included as per the updated procurement manual for over a year and a half now. And so the reason that it's attractive to outsource to the private sector is because it is less expensive. I want us to stare right in the face the reason why it is less expensive, and it is because we are paying people less. And we're just doing it through contractors. We're doing it through the private sector. We're doing it through the vendors that we see tonight. And I am very frustrated that the wage information wasn't included here. And I believe that once we start looking at that wage information, we will start having more serious conversation about the real impact of the county workforce and the fact that so much of the extended county workforce through contractors are being paid such a low wage.
Mr. Money.
I actually agree with both two speakers, and we actually put a resolution up to make sure these not-for-profits that were contracting with Pay 20, and they actually came and lobbied against it, I believe. And Abe's right, one of the reasons it's cheaper is just because we're paying. Now we're starting to find out that
not-for-profits providing services for the least of us in this county are actually becoming, having to go to DFS themselves and receive services and subsidies because they're not being paid enough. So if we're going to pay them anyways, why don't we just pay a little more, keep some of it in-house? We did, and I do just want to remind everybody, we did create a position in the comptroller's office. John, I think it was your resolution, and the idea was to go through and see what we're getting with some of these different contracts, do surveys, and as of yet, I don't think we've dove into that, and I think we should start soon, and let's find out if we're, are we saving money on salaries and getting the same services? Are we actually saving money and not even getting the same quality of services that we were getting when we were keeping more of this in-house? That's only going to happen if we take that deep dive. We created a position. I think the comptroller should probably give us a report on that, and we should probably start contacting the comptroller's office with some requests of different contracts and services for them to start honing in on and looking into, and then we can get a better feel for what we're actually doing and what we're getting.
But,
and one more thing, when we talk about just going back to that resolution where it sounds great, let's keep printing out these flyers, these magazines, all those things, it all comes down to money. At some point, it all sounds nice. We can just keep saying, well, tourism said it's a good idea, and we think there are people that are reading these things, and it's helping a handful of businesses. I mean, at the end of the day, we do have to start cutting the fat somewhere because there are people suffering. We got a bunch of BPW people here today that deserve a raise. Whether or not we're going to figure out a way to get them what we told them we were going to get them for months, we'll find out. But it's all money, and people aren't being paid enough to work in this county, both for the county and not. And we're printing up magazines and finding all these ways to spend cute money.
Chair Bartel.
Question for Deputy Majority Leader Uchtdel regarding the pay information, the salary information. Did you receive that? Mentioned that you made the complaint.
We have not gotten it. These are contract renewals. So we've started to see it on new contracts. We reviewed a couple dozen contract renewals that are for things that we've been doing year after year. And the contracts, as they often do for renewals, look like the contracts from last year. But this year we have a new procurement manual. I hear that the county attorney got involved in the procurement manual update, and the new form still hasn't gone out to department heads. I'm very, very frustrated by this. So I don't know what the delay is. It spans two administrations. I have sent samples of the state form to multiple deputy executives. I don't know why this hasn't happened yet.
If I may, I mean, this is passed through resolution. Can I ask through the chair to the executive team that in all these cases that a rider request go out to all the people we're contracting with and we ask for their salary information immediately? It should have happened already.
I can look into that. I can definitely look into that. And in terms of the email to the department heads, it went out. So they all know that they need to be providing this information.
Comptroller Gallagher?
Yeah, I just wanted to note that we actually made a presentation by the quality analyst to this committee on the 17th, but I wanted to just offer to extend that we would be happy to summarize for any individual legislator what was presented there and get some feedback. We really welcome your feedback, and we'd be happy to share what we did last month. Thank you.
Mr. Roberts.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was here in 2012 when we privatized a lot of mental health and outsourced it. It was a good idea back then. It was unsustainable, the cost of us doing it ourselves. We also did a trade-off, the cost for mental health and privatizing it to take over the safety net for the towns. I also invite the other legislators to join me. I did a tour of Astor House and Gateway back then, and if any of my colleagues would like to do another tour, I would love to see the facilities again.
Same line.
I don't necessarily disagree that privatizing a lot of it wasn't a good idea and perhaps unsustainable, the amount we were spending, but that doesn't mean we don't follow up
on the contract after contract after contract and make sure that we are, because we do end up hearing stories at times where there isn't, and at times it may end up being that they need more money or they need more staff and they're trying to keep us happy and the services are not going out, but we do have to follow up on these services when it's in-house. It's a lot, it's kind of in your face whether or not where you're coming up short. But when we're outsourcing, these not-for-profits and these organizations are not going to come back to us and say, you know what, you're not getting a good bang for your buck, or we're failing you, or we're failing the people we're supposed to be serving, and that's why we got to get these surveyed out. And as far as I know, we haven't got to that point yet, and I thought that was a big part of that that position. So back to those surveys, I think we really need to get feedback from the individuals that are receiving services from all these different contracts and see how they're being served. And one last thing, it just seems policy after policy after policy isn't being followed anymore, and I'm not really sure what we're supposed to do about that. I mean, I don't know if we can hold up these contracts, because that means, you know, people may not be getting served. So these are important contracts, but at some point, it's been happening a lot lately. Policy after policy after policy isn't being respected by the executive branch of government. And at some point, we have to figure out, either stop passing policies or figure out a way to have our policies followed. We're the policy-making body, and what is the point if the policies aren't going to be followed? And what we get is, we'll look into it, or we can't really do it that way. I mean, something's got to give, or we're just up here, what is the point of all this?
We are working to implement the policies as best we can. And just to go back to the prior conversation, there was a policy that was passed a few months ago, 6 months ago, to perform a needs assessment on the mental health system in the county. I think it was sponsored by Chair Bartels and Legislator Walter. We implemented it. It required us to put in place an RFC committee and find basically do a study on the mental health landscape to see if we're filling all the gaps, what are the gaps, should we be doing it in-house, should we be contracting out. So we did that. I know Legislator Uchitel was part of that process. We're moving along. So I just wanted to say, like, we're working on implementing all these policies. That was a legislative resolution that we've been working to put forth for this exact same conversation.
Any other discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Motion to block 617, 618, 619, 620, 621, and 622.
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Discussion? All those in favor?
Block.
Aye. Opposed? Motion for the block?
Make it.
Second? Discussion? Just a couple of things. So the same thing as Legislator Maloney said, you know, to me, and I have had this on my list here tonight, is statistics and data, you know, anything that we can get from these various contracts of how many people we're serving, you know, anything would be helpful to know. I mean, these look like very large numbers, but if it's spread out over a large group of people, it makes sense. But when we don't know what we're actually paying into, it's very difficult when you see these very large numbers in contracts to feel comfortable doing so. So if we could really start to get that information prior to receiving or at the same time as receiving the contract, it'd be very helpful. Yeah, that's it for those. All right. Any other discussion? All those in favor? Opposed? Carried. 623, can I have a motion? Second?
Second.
Discussion? All those in favor? Opposed? It's carried. 624. Motion?
Make it.
Second?
Second.
Okay. Discussion? All those in favor? Opposed? Carry. 625. Can I have a motion?
Make it.
Second? Discussion? The only question I have is, who is currently managing this, the program?
This is the person that's employed at Gateway.
So it's currently the same? This isn't a
Yes, this is the second year of this person's contract.
And it's the same person doing it now that will be doing it going forward?
Yes.
I guess that's more my question. Okay,
yes.
Thank you. And the other comment I had, we were talking about food for emergency housing. Perhaps there's a way to also look at maybe combining this program with the other. Just as a comment. Thank you. All those in favor? Opposed? Carried? 626, can I have a motion? Second?
Second.
Discussion? All those in favor? Opposed? Carried? 627, do you have a motion? Second?
Second.
Discussion? All those in favor? Opposed? Carried? 628, do you have a motion?
Make it.
Second? Second. Discussion? All those in favor? Opposed? Carried? 630, do you have a motion? Second? Second. Discussion? All those in favor? Opposed? So carried. Motion to block 631, 638, and 650.
Motion.
Second. Discussion. All those in favor? Opposed? Carried. Motion on the block. Motion. Second. Second.
Right.
Second. Oh, right. Thank you, Brian. any discussion? All those in favor? Opposed? Carried. And then motion to block 629, 632, and 637.
I'll make it.
Thank you.
Did you
say 37? Yes.
29,
32, and 37. Yes. 337. 337, yes. Sorry. Yes,
337. I'll make that.
Second? Second.
I'm sorry. Can you repeat that?
629, 632, through 637.
Oh, through. Okay,
yes.
Thank you. I thought you were saying 237.
Yes.
Sorry, I didn't
understand.
Okay, thank you.
Second. Discussion? All those in favor? Opposed? Carried? 640. Motion? Question?
Did you
want to
do
a question? Oh, yeah, we need to go on the block. That's right. Motion for the block for the previous. Second. Discussion? All those in favor? Opposed? Okay. 640. The motion. Second.
Mr. Cahill, seconded.
Second. Discussion. All those in favor? Opposed? Carried. Motion block 639, 641, 42, 643. Give a motion. Second.
Second.
Discussion. All those in favor? Opposed? Carried. Motion. The motion for the block. Motion. Second. Second.
Second.
Second. Discussion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. 647. Can I have a motion?
Motion.
Second. Discussion. All those in favor? Opposed? Carried. 648. Can I have a motion?
Motion.
Second. Discussion. All those in favor? Opposed? Okay. 649.
Motion.
Second. Second. Discussion.
I'm just going to channel you, Chair. So I know this is a small one and I'm going to support it, but I did look up, these are refurbished radios, and I looked up how much refurbished radios cost, like for, I don't know, four or five refurbished radios, you know, online are $200 each to purchase. So I just think this is indicative of that larger conversation we have to have about whether or not, and it's not specific to the Sheriff's Department, you know, in terms of radios, maybe we want to buy things rather than continue these licenses. I don't want to stop this from happening. I don't want there not to be radios, but I do think that this conversation needs to happen.
I will just say I plan to put in an amendment to the budget to put in a full-time position for radio technician so we can take these in-house. Perfect. All those in favor? Opposed? I'm going to be opposed. 652. Can I have a motion? Second. Discussion. All those in favor? Opposed? So carried. 653. Can I have a motion?
Motion.
Second. Discussion. All those in favor? Opposed?
I think this is great.
Yes. 654. Can I have a motion?
Motion.
Second. Discussion? All those in favor? Opposed? So carried. 655. Can actually, yeah, make a motion to postpone this 1 week.
There you go.
55. 55.
Second.
Or is that on the exec's request? Are we waiting more information?
Yes, the exec, Lisa couldn't be here tonight.
Oh.
All those in favor? Carried. Motion to postpone 1 week, 6:56 as well.
So moved.
Second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. 6:57. Can I have a motion?
Motion.
Second.
Second.
Second. Discussion? All those in favor? Opposed? Carried. Motion to block 659, 661, and 662. No, I just did 658. We have a motion, second. Discussion? All those in favor? Motion for the block? Second. Discussion? All those in favor? Opposed? Carried. Motion to block 663, 665, and 666. Second. Discussion? All those in favor? Opposed? Okay. Motion for the block. Second.
Second.
Discussion? All those in favor? Opposed? Carried. 667. Can I have a motion? Motion? Second.
Second.
Discussion?
So, I know this conversation came up, I think it was mean last month, and then maybe in caucus as well, and I see that the resolution was amended in committee to only ask for the subdivision. I'm curious if there's any, I appreciate the intent, but I want to know if there's any analysis that's been done in terms of the property as a whole and how we're going to, I mean, we're purchasing a property, and right now it feels like in part driven by, even in reading the resolution, by an emotional decision in terms of maintaining housing, but I would like to know if there's any further backup that's been done in terms of understanding the whole of the property and its use. I don't know if DPW is here at all.
My response is that this was a legislative resolution. There's not additional analysis that has been done by DPW on the property, and you know, it is a resolution that calls for subdividing a property that we don't own yet. So that could be a consideration as well.
I'm sorry, can you say that again?
It's a resolution that calls for subdividing a property that we do not currently own.
How do we do that? Like we're asking to subdivide a property we don't currently. I mean, I think that it's a little bit, to me, it feels like cart before the horse. We should, once we own the property, assuming we own the property, there should be a discussion based on some kind of, some analysis. I don't really actually know. I don't have a ton of detail on the property other than the what was provided to us in terms of its beneficial use, the warehouse portion. But I'd want this to be a robust conversation about the highest and best use of the property. And it very well may be at the end of that conversation, once we own the property, we move to subdivide and sell, or I don't know what, with the subdivided parcel. But again, I feel like there needs to be more conversation had.
Let's say Maloney.
You know, we spoke about this at in Public Works the other day as well, and it says additional requirements and eventually the purchase and acquisition. So it's basically saying after we purchase and acquire the property, we immediately subdivide the house off of it. All it does, Legislator Litz was giving some his take, which I thought was very helpful. Basically, it just gives us options so that if we wanted to, we could keep this house a dwelling for a family. I actually did stop there yesterday with three of my kids, and I met three or four other children with a wonderful young mother. works up at the Sky Top restaurant. They just purchased a restaurant in Sophus. They're awaiting their liquor license, and she got very emotional when I let her know that there was a group of legislators that cannot speak on behalf of the county, but there is intent to work with them and to not displace them immediately and to work with them on staying. She said she had gone to the landlord. The landlord said, look, I'm selling it. There's nothing I can do. They are freaked out. This is a young family that is freaked out right now, and I just find it, I find it a lot of different things, none of them good, that we sit up here and we talk about all this housing, we talk about not displacing people, we talk about landlords and how bad some of these landlords can be and greedy some of these landlords can be and how much we need to enact laws to get these landlords under control and create housing, spend millions of dollars to create housing. And here we have a young local family that we've shown no compassion to, no, have not communicated with. And I wish some of you were there, and she'd be happy to talk to any of you. She gave your contact information. She really wants to talk to the county after we purchased this property, and she is dying to keep her family in their home, and they really are worried. It was an emotional 15 minutes I spent with this woman the other day, and you're all welcome to go and meet her. And I have her contact information as well. And if we pass this, perhaps she'd be willing to come to public comment to appreciate the subdivide and the options that it gives us to work with this local family.
Mr. Stanola?
Sure. We did, several of us did bring up that committee, exactly the point that Chair Bartels is pointing towards. I'm not sure at all that, I voted against this coming out of committee because I don't think that we should rely on the title of the resolution setting additional requirements as our framework for the timing of this. The resolution on its face says that we should subdivide a property we don't own, and I'm not happy with that. In addition, I think that it's really important that we look at where we might want to have subdivision lines, and that would depend upon the type of inquiry that Chair Bartels is pointing towards, that we look at what we're going to be doing in the warehouse portion and how those properties relate. I am very sympathetic to the leasees. I'm not sure that it's proper for anybody from the county to approach those folks before we own the property. I'm not saying that was done by an official representative of the county, but if it's done individually, then I don't see the relevance and kind of the accusations coming towards the official representatives of the county for not doing that. It's not proper, as I understand it, for us to insert the county into that landlord-tenant relationship at this juncture. So I'm happy for any good that comes out of some conversations that somebody not representing the county could have, but I would not be happy for the county to be doing this. I did at committee encourage our DPW to speak with the landlord about speaking with the tenant, and I don't know whether that has happened, but that would be the proper pathway for us to proceed, I believe.
That's my money.
If it wasn't proper what I did, I don't want to be proper, but I'm fairly certain it was proper. And I'd also love to know who the representatives of the county are, if not a representative of the county, a legislator. I made no guarantees, I made no promises, and I did, represented nothing that wasn't true. So it's just really, I hope some of my colleagues decide to stop at this home and meet this family. And it was pretty disturbing to hear over the past couple of weeks that we may need this house for office space. How compassionate. And by the way, I've been involved in a lot of real estate acquisitions, probably more than most. And you can certainly talk. There are certainly ethical ways to talk to the renters when you're purchasing a property. That happens all the time. There is, and I dare you. We can go talk to the Board of Realtors together and see if you're not allowed to speak to someone that's renting a property that you're buying. There's certainly room for that ethically. And that's what I did, and I'm happy I did it. And if, like I said, if I'm improper,
then I choose to be improper on this one.
Chair Barton.
I don't know what the rest of the committee feels for this. I'd like at minimum of 1 week postponement while we figure it out again. Just procedurally, I think it's problematic to say that we will subdivide when we haven't purchased the property yet. I take all comments seriously, including legislator Maloney's. I think they're worthy conversations. I don't feel ready to pass a resolution saying we will subdivide when we haven't even purchased the property yet.
Legislator Woods.
Thank you. Purpose of the resolution. It's illegal to subdivide a piece of property you don't own because you don't own it. Purpose of the resolution is when we do own it, the intent is to subdivide it. We talk infinitum in this body about the highest and best use of whatever property, trail, whatever it is. You have a piece of property that has a warehouse on it, and you have a piece of property that has a residential dwelling on it that is occupied at this moment. I think the highest and best use for the warehouse is warehouse, and for the bridge group or the CPW people. Probably the highest best use for the house is a residential piece of property. In order to keep it residential or sell it, or I know we don't want to be in the landlord business, but it would be to subdivide it off and make it a separate piece of property. So each property has the highest and best use. And to keep kicking the can down the road, it's just going to take more time to get it done and months and months. And once we take possession of the property, what do we do with the family that's there if we're not going to be landlords? All this resolution says to do is that when we purchase the property, because you can't subdivide it before, is to subdivide it into two parcels, and then we can look at the highest, best use for each one. It expedites the process.
Legislator Cahill.
Thank you. My concern with this is twofold. One is that, so we say we go ahead and the day after we close, we go to the town and ask them to subdivide it. And the zoning allows that to be, quite frankly, in a town of Ulster, just about anything under the sun, right? I can tell you there are very, very few single-family residential homes on that stretch of road, probably for the next couple of miles or maybe two or three more, right, in either direction. It's like the lone standing single family home there. So when we subdivide that and we put it on the market for sale, who can guarantee that that will remain a single family home? I don't think anyone can. Because if you go up and down 9W, all of those buildings either are professional, some sort of industrial, warehousing, retail, commercial. It's almost 100% commercial. From a mile in either direction, and much further south. So to think that if we just go ahead and subdivide it, put it for sale, that it's going to remain a single family home, I think that's a little bit naive, quite honestly, especially in that part of the town of Ulster, which is there's extensive building taking place there year after year after year. I just don't see how we can, you know, I don't disagree that we would like to keep the family there, but I don't know how we do that. Even if we subdivide it, who's going to buy it? Who do we know guarantee is going to buy it and keep that family there? We don't know that. We don't know that.
Listen, Erna.
Thank you. So I'm who asked, or actually put forth the amendment in Public Works to strike this second resolve about the having to sell it. Because my concern is I think what I'm hearing from everybody is that we don't, I refuse to push this family out, and anything that I can do to ensure that they can stay there as long as they want, I will do. So It seemed to me like the subdivision could allow us to concentrate on having a residential parcel separate from a commercial parcel. I personally don't mind if we are the landlord. I agree with Legislator Cahill. If we do go to sell it, there is no guarantee. So I wouldn't be pushing for us to do that, which is why I made that amendment. But that said, I think the idea of dividing it does make sense. Yeah, that's all. Thank you.
Legislator Nolan? Legislator Nolan?
So DPW and all of the Public Works Committee were all united in the agreement that we would like to take a course of action that will allow us to have that family stay, and that very, very likely would allow us to have that continue to be a residential property. But instead of discussing that plan, we have a resolution that is focused on subdividing, which is probably going to be part of all of that. But I don't see that this resolution even says how to subdivide it, where those lines are going to be, why those particular lines were chosen. We don't have any backup material that suggests that there's a thoughtful plan for subdividing. So I think postponing it a week is good. Maybe some of that could get worked out. But I would like to provide maximum protection to the family that's there. And I don't think that rushing to subdivide is the way that we do that. So I would prefer to see this sent back to committee and have this be part of an overall plan for that property, which is in development but is not completed because we have not yet finalized the purchase of the property.
Legislator Mahoney?
So, first of all, I think I saw an overhead of the property, and it's pretty blatant where the subdivision would be. Secondly, the idea of talking about the family. I love how we can take properties off the tax rolls that some family couldn't afford. We give the property to RUBCO so they could just go find another family and work with them to give them the house on the cheap. We can transfer multi-million dollar properties over the EDA where they can literally give it away to whoever they want. The idea that there's not a mechanism for us to transfer this property once subdivided, you can't do anything until it's subdivided, once subdivided to the EDA or work with RUBCO to work with this family on giving them a good deal for this house, maybe even a purchase if they can do it, or a fair lease. We can certainly make that happen. And nobody bats an eye when we give a billion-dollar developer a multi-million dollar property. But suddenly, it's so difficult to keep a family in their home. I love it.
Chair Bartel.
Yeah, again, I'd like at least a week postponement. I don't feel like I have enough information.
Chair Criswell.
Yeah, I'm just trying to remember, do we own any properties that are residential dwellings?
Yes, all the ones we foreclosed on.
All the ones we foreclosed on. Thank you. And are those, I'm sorry, can I follow up?
Follow.
And those are all managed through, if there's still people in them, how are they managed? Is there a process for managing it when those homes are occupied? I guess what I'm asking ultimately is if we do subdivide this and still own it, who manages, who in our world becomes the landlord?
Let's say Stewart. Yeah. Unless you're ready to answer.
There are very typically, with this year being the exception, this past year, there's a very narrow window, which from the time we would take the deed to the time we would auction the property. And so if there were a family in the unit, that wouldn't be something where the county would interact with the folks living in that house. This year, because of that delay, because of the uncertainty around the auction process, there are maybe a few, one or two that we're aware of, where there might be people in that foreclosed upon house. We haven't taken any action to remove anyone from a home, but that's where it's a very
those are homeowners. These are renters of a home, right?
I would just call them occupants. I can't tell if they're, you know, we do not know if they were renting the house that was foreclosed or they were the
No, I'm talking about the property that we're talking about right now.
Excuse me. Yes.
They are currently renters from the owner that we're purchasing the property from. So we would then own a property that we would have renters, right? So that's very different than owning property that is owner-occupied. Right. Okay, sorry, I'm just trying to get some clarification here.
Well, wait, hey, Legislative Stewart, you had your hand up before.
No, I'm sorry.
Okay, sorry. Let's take him.
Yeah, I mean, it's been brought up about, you know, there's no plan for the subdivision, what's this, what's that. Subdivisions are via the town code, so there are distances and lengths and setbacks that all have to be meeting the town code and the subdivision, which go through the town. So I don't know what plan we need. It's in their purview, not ours.
Mr. Gale?
Yeah, I guess the question is, do we know if the current property owner is actually evicting these folks? Has he told them he's not renewing their lease, and when does their lease expire? Were they on a 30-day, whatever? Do we know the particulars around their lease that would even give us an opportunity to do anything? I mean, is he asking them to be out before he makes the sale? I don't know that.
Do we have an answer?
I haven't seen a copy of the lease, but that's something certainly we can request. I don't know if TPW already has one, but and I can't speak to the former part of the question regarding if I don't believe there's been any. I can actually speak to that. We have been clear that they're not to be forced out on our account. So that has been communicated.
Chair Bartels.
They are not to be, we have communicated with the real estate agent that they are not to be forced out on our account.
When was that communication, if you could?
I can check on a date for that, but that was before the last public works meeting. So
after it was first brought up in Ways and Means, so it was never dealt with before that?
No.
Okay. So thank goodness.
No, I'm actually saying that was back from when we were initially negotiating.
Because what we were told.
All right, listen. Hold on. Look, Chair Bartels is first.
We're trying to get back to
that. Yeah. Again, to Legislator List's comment about minimums. That's respectfully, that's minimum. You know, you don't have to subdivide to the minimums. You can subdivide beyond the minimums. The minimums are and you can get waivers to go below the minimums. The other thing is, you know, I have no idea, someone else may, but I have no idea the condition of the building that we're talking about. I don't know if there's been an inspection. I don't know if it's safe. I don't know anything about any of this. We don't own the property yet. And when we do, that would be the time to have this discussion. What I think is critical is that this family's been advised through the realtor, which I think you could confirm, please, that they're not to be forced out on account of the county. And in the meantime, we have to do our due diligence. They're not being evicted. My understanding, they're not being evicted on our account. So I definitely do not feel ready to move on a resolution that says we will subdivide a property we do not own. That just seems premature.
Legislator.
It says we will.
Legislator Nolan?
Yes. So the town won't subdivide this property for us. They will act on the subdivision if we present them with a request for subdivision. So it'll be on the county to figure out where we want to draw those lines in conformance with the zoning in that town. And the first time that this came to Public Works, DPW stated that they had conveyed to the owner that we did not want to have the family that was in the home evicted or asked to leave. So from the very beginning, that has been clear. The argument here is just about what's the best way to protect this property and these people. And I think that we're all acting in good faith that that's what we want. It seems to me like we could do some planning around the subdivision, you know, line everything up and have it ready to go, and then do some, you know, then bring forward a resolution. Even just amending this so that it says at the time of the sale and providing background materials of what we want to do. I think we might want to own the property to know more clearly what we want to do. Certainly from my perspective, that would be better. But the resolution as it is, I think, does ask us to do something immediately, as I read it, that we cannot do. And I think that it's wrong to write a resolution that asks the executive's team to do something illegal or something they, you know, they're not allowed under law to do. So this is, to me, taking a tiny piece of this puzzle and saying we know what to do with that piece before we've taken the rest of the pieces of the puzzle and brought them into focus and into a coherent whole.
Question, Monty?
In fact, there's nothing illegal about this resolution telling the executive to immediately start to subdivide once we sign contracts and become owners. It's not illegal. It's fairly straightforward and obvious. And let me just set the record straight. The first time this was brought up in a meeting a couple of weeks ago, we were told by someone from DPW that they had no contact with the family there. They knew there was a family there, and what we were told was that family was looking for other housing. That, to me, was all I needed to hear. No communication with the family. Obviously, it sounded like the landlord. The idea of what condition the building's in, are we buying a building we didn't do an inspection on? I mean, I would hope that we have some kind of feel for what the building, what condition the house is in. And as of yesterday, the young mother of at least three children told me to my face she has had no contact with anyone, and they were scared to death and didn't know where they were going to go, and they were under the impression from the landlord that they were probably going to have to leave. She couldn't have been happier to hear there may be another option. So what we are hearing here might just be narrative creation, because I think we're now trying to backpedal, and no one wants to be associated with kicking this young family out of their house. But I just don't get why this is so difficult for all of us who have it made to work with this family a little bit, the same way we work with rich developers. It's so easy to do this for a rich developer, but we are going out of our way to postpone, out of our way to come up with excuses to not just work with this young family. I just don't understand it.
We have a 6 o'clock that we were supposed to start with the budget, so if we have nothing that's substantive, let's just, if we can, try to close this out, whether it's going to be a motion to postpone or it's going to be move forward. Chair Bartels?
I'd like the motion to postpone 1 week.
Second?
I'll second that.
Second?
Hold on. I would just request anybody that votes yes on this postponement, please, over the next week, stop at the house, knock on the door, do your due diligence.
Chair Roberts.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. On the postponement,
your mic. Mr. Roberts, your mic.
Better. Thank you, Mr. Chair. On the postponement, we have a $400 million county government. Can we at least find out by next week what the condition of the building is? Can it be subdivided? Can the owner subdivide it before we even purchase the property, like they do everywhere else at, in the business world? Can we find out about this family? Do they want to stay in this house? Are they willing to sign a lease? Or do they want to buy it? What price point do we want to sell it to them? I'm willing to sell it to them for $1 just to get this behind us.
All right. All those in favor of postponing 1 week? Opposed? All right. So carried. All right. We're going to go into the budget presentation first, and then we'll come back to the agenda. Rosa.
said Monday this was advertised for 6 o'clock. We are already now at 6:15.
Ways and Means Meeting, Resolution 668. Can I have a motion?
Did you go on last night? Or? He doesn't have much to correct over.
Resolution 668, can I have a motion? Second. Discussion? 668. You want to speak on this, Mr. Lamboni? Well, so if you want to speak, that's what I want you to do first, and then I'll see if the committee... All right. There are some people from public who would like to speak. Without objection from the committee, I'll allow it. Would you not? So if there's no objection? Okay. If anybody in the public wants to speak on 658, there's a microphone you could use over there. Yeah. Please state your name for the record.
My name is Tina Bono. I'm a 20-year employee of Ulster County, where I currently work at the Department of Social Services as a senior social welfare examiner, and I am the president of the Ulster County Unit 8950. Also with me today is First Vice President Chris Gillespie. He's a 23-and-a-half-year employee working at building maintenance specialist for the Buildings and Grounds Department, and both of us sat at the negotiations table for the contract that covers 2020 through 2024. I am here to speak on pending resolution number 668 brought forward by Legislator Maloney. Foremost, it should be very clear that our unit fully and wholeheartedly supports wage increases for all of our buildings and grounds titles. In fact, we spent the last 2 years and 3 administration changes bringing forward requests and proposals for grade increases for our buildings and grounds titles, the E911 titles, and the remaining UCAT mechanic and transportation titles that were impacted by compression when UCAT drivers and dispatchers were given a 2-grade increase at the end of 2022. While there are pay disparities and hiring issues throughout all of Ulster County job titles, we have identified the titles in these departments as having the most immediate need for upgrades. Additionally, recognizing that all county titles are significantly underpaid, we stress these departments and titles first because these titles were having more significant hiring issues and retaining qualified employees. Financially, it would be less stressful on the county finances and budget to address pay disparities immediately or incrementally rather than add all at once. Resolution 668 is factually incorrect. The intent of our contract and the language itself does not support the clarification that this resolution is attempting to make. Article 7, Section 1A of our contract states that effective December 31st, 2020, there would be a $5.70 increase across the board to the DPW salary schedule. The DPW salary schedule is located at the end of our contract and covers grades DPW 1 through DPW 9. Schedule B of our contract, grade assignments for the Department of Public Works, outlines the specific titles that are covered under these grades and that fall under the DPW salary schedule. The DPW salary schedule only applies to the Highway Department and Highway Department titles, and it has for decades. Buildings and Grounds has never included in the separate pay schedule. Their titles have never fallen under Schedule B, and they have never been paid under the DPW salary schedule. Their titles fall under Schedule A, with the remainder of the job titles that are not specified to the Highway Department. The intent of Across the Board was to ensure that the $5.70 per hour increase was applied to all the highway titles included on Schedule B. When the Memorandum of Agreement was presented to membership, it was made very clear to the members that the $5.70 raise only applied to the highway titles and highway schedule. Having said this, I feel it's necessary to reiterate that we are in full support of and desirous of continuing the discussion of upgrades to the buildings, grounds, titles, and the other previously mentioned departments. We feel that it's imperative to address the pay disparities, hiring, and retention issues that these departments are facing prior to the completion of the 2024 budget. I would happily share the proposals that we have been pursuing with the Executive's Office for the last 2 years and continue the discussions that are crucial and necessary to make these changes. I would also like to touch upon quickly the discussions that are happening regarding the creation of a committee to discuss the policy and assignment of take-home vehicles. Having a take-home vehicle doesn't merely allow our members to drive it back and forth to work each day. It also allows the ability to respond to emergencies, hazardous situations, and be on call from their homes. Without them, workers would need to use vital response time to drive to their work locations to receive their necessary tools and equipment. In a rural county such as ours, take-home vehicles eliminated waste of time when minutes count. Furthermore, I want to make it clear that take-home vehicles are a decades-long benefit and a condition of employment for these titles that they are assigned to. This benefit and condition of employment is something that cannot be eliminated by resolution and would need to be negotiated by myself and Howard Ball, CSEA Unit 8950 Labor Relations Specialist. Thank you. I appreciate your time and consideration and letting me speak.
Thank you. Is there anybody else who would like to speak? Can you just state your name for the record?
Yep.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Good evening. Thank you for your time. My name is Chad McPeak. I'm a public worker for Buildings and Grounds, and I'm here speaking on behalf of some of the people sitting there and the other ones that gave me permission to speak on their behalf. I am not a union member. I'll put that out clearly. Upon my sitting down at the table and talking to some of the people and doing all my my paperwork, I requested that I be given time to see what my financial impact would be with taking this job and if I could actually could assume the cost of the union. In doing so, after receiving my checks, I realized that it was impossible for me to sustain a quality life for my family, so I opted not to do so at the time, and at this point, I stand by the fact that I did not, and this is for various reasons. There's many skilled craftsmen sitting behind you, some of which have worked in your building, some maybe have not, maybe you don't even know they work for the county. The disparity of pay between talented craftsmanship like myself and my associates is disheartening, I guess is the best way to say it. To have these people come and do what allows to have the heat on in these buildings, the air on in these buildings, the lights on in these buildings, emergency calls, COVID centers, anything that you've experienced over the last 4 years, to think that they aren't on a different level and deserve better pay, I disagree with you. You know, I'm a contractor for a living. Been doing it since I was 18 years old. I decided to come to the county mainly, primarily for health insurance, realizing that the financial benefit was not going to be there. This contract that she referenced, when it was brought to the table, everyone, with the exception of the two that are representing the county union right now, thought they were getting $570 across the board for Public Works. A shirt that I wear right now, stamped with Public Works on it, there is no separation. Across the board is across the board. It's like me coming here saying, who wants cheese pizza, right? Everybody wants one, but you guys just get sauce and you get cheese because there's that fine line that we knew about that you didn't. So I sit here humbly that they allowed me to come here and speak and ask you to sit back and think, is there an argument, you know? Because our title does not require us to do what we do on a daily basis. Right now we're currently doing building at 368 Broadway, which is going to help the mental health unit that's going in there. There's a remodel going down on the first floor, which they're going to subsidize it out. We'll probably do it for the tune of $250,000, including material and our labor that's already accounted for. And we're subbing it out for $3-4 million just because. So there's a lot of things that go on that you don't see, or maybe you see and just turn a blind eye. I ask you to consider it. If you need to table it, talk about it, come meet with us. We're on job sites. We'd be happy to talk to you about it. But the right thing is to pay the skilled person. You know, was it an error in the contract? I don't know. Does it read like that? To me, across the board's across the board, right? So if you come here with expectations, like I'm not an English major, I'm certainly not a public speaker, as you can tell, but you know, I'm fighting my fear to sit up here to consider what you're comparing. You know, you're not comparing apples to apples. I'm not a building guy. I couldn't be a building guy, right? There are building guys that work for the county that are under our title, right? They should be encompassed to the same pay raise because of the error in the contract. Could it be corrected, amended for the future? Absolutely. But unfortunately, the words are the words. The English language is the English language. You can say it, present it any way that you want. You know, I just feel that I sat back for the last 2 years and said nothing. right? Until the people that I work with that are talented, skilled people have had enough. And I decided that the avenue I have is not to sit down with the union, who told me 3 years ago to get out because I'm not part of it, because I wanted to learn a little bit more about it, right? So fine, that's my distaste towards the union. Not saying they're not good, not saying they're bad. But the bottom line is, the flavor that I had from my experiences, I won't mess up my job, and I'll keep it. I'll do what I'm supposed to do on a daily basis. And so after the discontent with my associate said, you know, I said, listen, this is what I can do. I can talk to my constituents, the people that I elect to sit in these chairs to do the right thing. You know, that's all I can do. It's up to you guys. You know, like I said, you want a table, you want to talk, you want to come meet with us, I'm happy to sit with you off county time, as would any of these guys. You know, so I appreciate your time. I appreciate you allowing me the chance to speak. And I appreciate the legislator putting up the correct thing, whatever you want to call it. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Any other comment? Yes, Legislator Maloney?
So back in 2007, and I've spoken to the chair at that time, it was actually Dave Donaldson. I have all the resolutions. At one point, public buildings and grounds was not part of DPW. Back in 2007, we consolidated them. At that point, personnel, the unions, whoever, probably a little more personnel, we made it kind of confusing the way we have these schedules and these pay scales. But there is a Schedule B that reads great assignments for Department of Public Works. The Department of Public Works is undoubtedly Buildings and Grounds and Highway Department. Look it up. It's official. We did it. So when you put into a contract DPW salary schedule increase by 570 across the board, you're pretty much saying that across the board, whatever schedule Public Works ends up in is getting a 570 raise. When you talk about intent, I don't know how you can say the intent wasn't to give them the raise when these men and women were told for months they were getting it until it wasn't in their paycheck, and they went and found out they were told, oh no, we meant this one schedule across the board in that one schedule, whatever the hell that means, and you weren't going to get it. And when they said, we didn't feel like we had representation at the table, I was even told the other day, well, they always, everyone in the CSEA had representation at the table because the head of the CSEA himself was there negotiating. You know where his son works? In the highway department. You know, the part of DPW that got the raise. His son also has a take-home vehicle, I believe. So I think we might just want to calm down, pump the brakes on take-home vehicles are great, and we should have them because we might have a conflict. And I'm going to recommend that we send some questions off to our ethics board about who's negotiating these contracts. And when a small group of people that includes a sibling is getting something, then you have this confusing language. I think we got a real problem here. And that was just the cherry on top, hearing that the fringe benefits of, and then we had to get into the take-home vehicles and that nonsense. Because that's another thing. These men and women that work in the Highway Department of Public Works that don't have the take-home vehicles, there's vehicles, I just talked to a guy yesterday, he's got to leave the windows down because of all the carbon monoxide flowing in because the truck's such a piece of garbage, but he watches his bosses glide in with their fully decked out Dodge Rebels, Camaros, or Mustangs, I'm sorry, but let's type Camaro into, if I had access to our financial system, I'd type Camaro in and find out who's driving the Camaros. Then we'd give them to the Sheriff's Department and cover it up. But yes, we have a problem in Public Works. We have a problem with this contract. And if you want to argue about intent, let's argue about intent. Because when I'm also told that some of these men went to Pat Ryan right before he left, and they were told, I thought you guys were all getting it. So let's have that argument about intent, about what's right. Let's talk about conflicts. But that's why I put this up, and I do think it's the negotiating bodies, even though if these men and women decide to take this to court, there's a chance this whole contract gets thrown out because of the major conflicts between the people that were negotiating the contract. That's a fact. I talked to a lawyer about it. There is, that can happen. I'm not saying it would, it might. So that's where we might be heading. But it is, as legislators, when we approve a contract, we should probably have a lot more information than we have before we approve. But if we don't think that contract is being correctly executed, then why can't we go ahead and pass a resolution to pay the people that it looks like you make a strong argument we're supposed to be paid? That's why this resolution's up. I don't know where to go with this. I'm curious to find out where you all want to go with it, but we have a lot of problems. And going into this next negotiation with the CSEA, we better deal with some of these conflicts. We'll see what the ethics board has to say, but we have some issues here. And these guys deserve it, and it was outrageous that we were one resolution away. We made them sit here after they worked all day driving their own, now they're going to drive their own damn vehicles home, by the way, and they're not going to be paid for any of this. And we made them wait through that budget when we could have just went right to it. That was one of the more offensive things I've seen up on this sixth floor.
Chair Bartel.
You just called
him? Yes, Chair Bartel.
Thank you. So I appreciate the testimony. Thank you. I know it takes a lot to stand in front of a group of people and speak. My first issue of concern, I think it's a worthy to have a conversation, but outside of the context of collective bargaining, I do not feel ready to make changes. I recall when this change was instituted, and I recall the MOU and the salary schedule. It was not my understanding that every employee buildings and grounds and highway was getting a $5.70 raise. Had that been my understanding, we would have seen a different fiscal impact because many more employees would have been affected. I recall seeing the MOU that broke out which employees were being affected. Now, whether or not that was the understanding that was communicated to members by their elected leadership of their union, I can't speak to. I'm not in those meetings. I'm not a part of collective bargaining. But we, the legislative body, do approve the contract, and when we do, we are provided with the paperwork and the backup. There is a lot of legal jargon, but we were provided with a backup that, with that MOU, that had a schedule of salaries and the positions that were getting those raises. It's a different conversation whether or not there's two things I think that are worthy of comment. Different conversation whether or not there aren't more positions that are worthy of salary increases, and I assume, I think rightly, that that's going to be a part of the next talks for the next contract. And also, you know, I think it's just worthy to note that one thing that was stated today is that the changes that were made in the last budget cycle, outside of collective bargaining, and if I heard it correctly, actually now put compression issues on those members in the collective bargaining unit. And what ultimately is being stated is that we, the legislature, did that by making a change outside of the contractual world where this normally happens. I don't think this is the place to have a conversation about collective bargaining. That's it happens in collective bargaining. So, but again, I want to say for the record that it was never my understanding with that MOU that it was every position, nor was that communicated financially, because if it was every position, it would have had a different fiscal impact.
Any other discussion? I'll just agree with Chairman Tells. I think this is this needs to happen at the collective bargaining table. The whether agree or not that their salary should be increased, that's to me not the subject here. It's whether or not to do it the right way, in my opinion, which is with the union at the table, with the employees, through the exec team, and then us approving it. I'm not sure how it even made it to Ways and Means from the other committee without this being discussed. I think this is not our purview to do, and I think we're creating, there's also issues about titles. If this is, you know, without looking at it in detail, this may have implications besides just even public works. This may have impacts throughout a lot of departments, not just in those two areas. Commissioner Mahoney?
You're acting as if I'm trying to give a raise outside of the collective bargain. This was collectively bargained, granted, with a major conflict, which none of you want to comment on that. That's too uncomfortable. It's too uncomfortable that we approve the contract with one of the largest raises I've ever seen in this county per hour, certainly ever to DPW, and the only part in this confusing wording of the people that got that was the head of the CCA's son and his people. Nobody even wants to talk about that problem. Secondly, my point is, we are not giving a raise. We're just telling the finance department to go ahead and fulfill this contract how it reads. That's what I'm asking you to do.
Mr. Cahill?
Go back to a little bit of what Chair Bartel said, a little bit about what Legislator Maloney said. I absolutely recall the conversations that took place prior to that across the board increase, and it was, as I recall, strictly for equipment operators mainly, because they were losing them very quickly to the private sector, who was paying, you know, substantially more money, and they had to do something to keep those folks employed in the county. The other part of this that we always have to remember is we will not see a contract that has not been approved by the rank and file prior to it coming to the legislature. Now, if there was potentially some deception from the union leadership to the rank and file, we don't know that at that time. We don't know that, and that's not what we approved. We approved what was presented to us, right? And what was presented to us was, as I recall, equipment operators getting that across the board raise. No one else. No one else. As the chair stated, we would have, seen that. The financial impact would have been dramatically greater had it been a more widespread and more inclusive across the board increase. So again, and I support unions. There's nobody in the legislature that supports unions more than me, and I was very adamant in not giving any raises to non-union people until all of the union contracts were settled when I first came back. But I do want to say this, that I believe that all of the opportunity for these changes should take place at the negotiating table in good faith with the legislature, with the executive and the union management. Thanks.
Chair Bartel.
This actually is an amendment because there's a memorandum of agreement that includes a schedule. Like, Legislator Maloney's acting as if this document doesn't exist. Again, I can't speak to what union members signed off on or what they were told by their leadership, but definitely from my understanding, I was clear that it wasn't the full both departments of buildings and grounds, all of public works, and the financial reflected that. So we have a memorandum of agreement before us that we approved that has a schedule of who got those increases, and what's being requested essentially is to amend that memorandum, not directly, but to just sort of bypass it and just give increases to a whole bunch of additional titles that aren't included in the memorandum of agreement. So I don't know how we're stating that we're not making a change, that we're just honoring intent. Intent is determined by the crafters. You'd have to ask the people who wrote the document and who agreed it and who signed it, the people who drafted it and the people who signed it. Not intent isn't determined by just anyone who reads the document. So the document's before us. I understood it to be certain titles, and I fully expect that these increases are going to be a part of the next contract negotiations. The very increases that we're talking about now. We're in the midst of a salary study, and I think there's going to be a lot of discussion about increases to salaries or not. Separately, I know that we're going to talk about fleet. There was something said about that I definitely have something to say about, but I'll save that for later.
I say more.
Yeah. So try to follow. Because in 2007, when we combined and made them all one unit of DPW, the Department of Public Works, which surely Buildings and Grounds is in, but they appear in different schedules, but they're all public works, which is why you have the wording across the board. DPW salary schedule, you can't just say that. You say across the board, meaning all schedules that DPW, because some parts of DPW appear in schedules that don't have, that aren't all public works, so you say across the board DPW schedules. That's how you encompass. Why else would you use the terminology across the board? It makes no sense. If you wanted it to be specific to highway and bridges, say it. This was across the board, and because this contract is DPW across the board, is DPW where it appears. I'm not redoing anything here. This language, that's how you can take that. That's how I'm taking it. That's how they were told it was. That's why you would put across the board. There is no other reason to use the language across the board unless you mean public works across the board, because they're not on the same, they're all on the same schedule. So you have to say across the board, everywhere they appear. And that's what gives us the legal right to separate public works out of schedules that aren't all public works.
I say, Robert.
And then they were told they were getting the raise. And now we're violating the contract that we approved.
I say, Robert.
Excuse me, through the chair to Legislator Maloney, who told these people they were getting a raise?
You could ask that. Our union.
Union head.
I will wholeheartedly stand here before you and tell you that we did not communicate to any Buildings and Grounds worker that they were a part of that $5.70. We held membership meetings.
Are you saying that she personally told you, or other people that from your union? When we saw Golden Hill, the warehouse up there, we had a room of us guys, our floating crew, who are plumbers, electricians, landscapers, the guys who come in on every hour he asks, right? We were told then you guys were fighting for us to get the same contract as Highway was. It was, then once the contract went through, it was changed, or almost three guys changed up and said, oh, we can only get so much on the Highway side because of the executives over there on their side. It was a back and forth thing. And we heard different answers from Kirk Jones, from Howard Ball, from Chris here, from everywhere. Every person had a different answer of where and how we're getting the raises. And I want to iterate on something. You know, this gentleman up here, Mr. Cahill, said it's for operators. Well, I operate equipment every day. I'm running tractors. I'm running, $40,000 tractors down a rail trail, blowing off leaves and trimming with scissor arms around people who are riding bicycles right by us, you know, all this kind of stuff. Like, why aren't we not included into that then?
So, basically...
But you know, I have to drive my personal vehicle. I spent $40,000 on a truck, drive back and forth to work. I have to come in at 5 o'clock in the morning to go snow plowing all these buildings and help out with Highway, help them out doing plowing and parking lots and all that. And we have the rail trails. You know, we got another section of rail trail we got to go do. And all of it just keeps adding up. We're pretty much the same as Highway.
You're working out of cycle too, but only the Highway.
I mean, just an example. They're buying us a front end loader, a mini front end loader. That's the same thing as the Highway's running, just on a next scale figure. Same thing, split unit, $100,000 piece of equipment. You know, I got to carry all these certifications to operate everything. You know, I don't. Where does it draw the line for operators and call-ins, all that stuff?
So Highway got $5 and your team got
what?
Zero?
2%? 2%? You know, I have nothing against our union or anything like that. I know they try to fight for us, but, I mean, the paperwork says right there that we are all one part. Like 2007, during the recession. We all remember the recession. You know, it was a cost-saving move by combining us all into one department.
You know, I wish that the union would say, hey, it's only for this highway schedule versus, you know, DPW. They kept referring to everything as DPW. So, and my shirt says, Ulster County, DPW. I'm just in a subdivision of buildings and grounds. It's the same thing.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Mr. Chair, if I could follow up what Chairwoman Bartel said, that, you know, she made a lot of sense, and I agree with her that we don't know the intent. Maybe it's time that we find out the intent. I mean, you know, to me, this is a matter of fairness. And maybe if we could, with the sponsor's permission, okay, maybe postpone this, get the union leaders in here, get the executive staff who negotiated this contract in here next week, and let's get to the bottom of this. I mean, what's fair is fair.
That's a fair note.
My name is Jim Corina. I'm the Director of Employee Relations. I've been a county employee for the last 17 years. I have served on every negotiating committee since 2007. I was a part of those discussions in 2007 when DPW took over the buildings and grounds and they came under their umbrella. I was in these last negotiations. I drafted the MOA. I drafted a good part of the contract language in conjunction with the union and with our labor relations attorney, William Wallens. And in all honesty, those two individuals on the other side of the room, Tina and Chris, sat at the negotiating table, as did I. We are the only three people in this room that could tell you what the intent of that language was. So I'm going to tell you right now what the intent of that language was. The union came to us with a proposal to raise the DPW workers, specifically your MEOs, your CEOs, bridge workers, etc., by X amount of dollars because they couldn't retain or hire people, and the people they did hire were leaving to go to towns and villages or to the state in the county. We ended up agreeing on $5.70 an hour. If you look at the MOA, it clearly states that that $5.70 will be applied to the DPW salary schedule. The only DPW salary schedule in that contract lists your construction CEOs, your MEOs, your road maintenance leaders, auto mechanics, those titles. Those were the only titles that $5.70 was applied to. And it's very clear in the memorandum of agreement. It's very clear in the contract language. This resolution attempts to apply that $5.70 to all titles contained in DPW. Now, by doing that, not only would you be providing buildings and grounds workers with a $5.70 increase, but also all clerical titles within DPW, because you have clerical titles attached to DPW. So if I took an account clerk and increased their rate by $5.70, under the law, because positions are allocated to a grade level, so if I take a grade 10 account clerk, let's say, increase their rate of pay by $5.70, every account clerk in the county would have to get a $5.70 increase. So you have that added impact. So, you know, you want to talk intent. The other thing, just before I get interrupted, he talks about, Legislator Maloney talks about across the board. Well, I've been doing negotiations for close to 40 years. And when you talk about an across the board increase, if I go into negotiations and I'm requesting a 5% across the board increase. What I'm talking about is placing 5% on each and every step of the salary schedule. And that's what we did with the DPW salary schedule for those specific titles. We put $5.70 on each and every salary step. That's what across the board means. Across the board doesn't mean everybody, because you negotiate increases to salaries, and there can be different salary schedules.
Some places, you go to a small place, they might only have one salary schedule. We have multiple salary schedules in this county.
Commissioner Nolan?
Yes, really appreciate that helpful clarification. It has seemed to me from the time this came to us in committee that we have the legislature here at risk of inserting itself into a very complicated process that has its own sets of rules and procedures and policies, and that this would be improper for us to do. I appreciate that it has surfaced that there are other places to look for where there would be appropriate salary increases that should also go through that procedure. And I think that the opportunity for people to make a case for their doing work that's not being similarly paid, we need to make sure that there are avenues. Certainly the union can do that, but for non-union employees, let's make sure that there's a mechanism for those cases to be brought forward and considered. But this resolution brings us as a body into a procedure that we were not a party, and sets us up to be the ones to determine the meaning of terms that not only do we not understand, we're just being educated on, at least I am, and that were between parties where we were not at the table. So I appreciate those members of the Ways and Means Committees that have expressed that tonight, and I think this, I'm not sure where you should take this resolution, but it does not seem that this would be proper for the legislature to enact.
That's been loving.
Yeah, at some point I'd love to get your opinion on allowing the negotiations to negotiate on behalf of his son and have a small group of people to get a raise. That to me is a major conflict, and I'd love to find out about that and your relationship. So as far as across the board, I've looked quickly through, haven't seen that language before, and the idea that a handful of clerical individuals probably deserve raises as well, and I believe because of the language DPW, you'd probably be able to not give every other clerical person in the county the same raise. That being said, I think we all agree that hindsight, especially hearing about operators and there are mechanics in the highway department, there are mechanics outside of the highway department that work in DPW. So if we are worried about equity, operators,
I service all my
kids. Yes. So we didn't, if Mr. Cahill and Ms. Bartels were told that it was the operators getting the, well, it wasn't true. We did screw up. We screwed up with the conflict. The language can obviously be better. What these individuals were told, and I'll take 40% of DPW at their word that they're not lying, that they were told this was for them. And why don't we do this a different way? If we put this resolution in differently, John, I think you mentioned it to me before, that would be a possibility. If we put it in, got the approval of the union, who obviously wants their people to be paid better and know they deserve it, if I submitted this resolution going forward with no retro for a 570 raise for the individuals that we identify, and Jim, you could write up the perfect language again, would the body here consider that? That's what I'll do, and hopefully next month we remember all that's happened here, and we'll bring the same individuals into main session and have them talk to us at public comment maybe, but that's going to be my solution. I'll ask for a postponement on this while I work up a different resolution for a 570 raise going forward. It's not going to be retro. I think you deserve more, but hopefully we can get that passed. And I would think that at that point the union would be on board, and we'll see what goes on. But I'll start working that up tomorrow.
Could we get a financial impact on any?
Yes. Well, financial impact going forward is going to be hard in this county. I'm not really sure what it's going to, what,
$625,000
fund balances.
$635,000.
Yeah, but where does it leave us as far as sitting money? I'm not really sure. Do we know how much our fund balance is? That was my only point. What do we even have to spend? But
at the end of 2022, the appropriate the fund balance for the county was $135 million in the general fund.
That's a hard number?
That's what our auditors have provided to us.
Okay.
I can tell you one thing. You can save a lot of county money by buying a crew cab pickup trucks. We're running around with six guys in three different trucks everywhere we go.
I hear a lot of these stories. We got to get Mustang Man in here.
You know, I watch my management drive home every day in crew cabs. You know, we had to sit here and you know, go about everything the longest way, and we could, the county could save us a boatload of money, but and have come up with this money to pay us. You know, you have some guys take home vehicles to come in to do plowing, and then you have us come in and do plowing with our own vehicles to come in to do, you know, to hop in a truck and then go about, you know, drop kinks and take care of all the properties and stuff. You know, I work two full-time jobs, just to barely make ends meet. So, you know, if you guys want to put in consideration that 570, you know, I have a family. You know, I got 40 years of work, more work to go, you know, do here, and I don't plan on leaving anytime soon or anything like that. But it's like, you know, you should take care of the people that are taking care of the backbone of the county. In theory, anything we do.
Deputy Corral.
I just wanted to start to remind the legislature that we are currently, we've awarded a contract, an RFP, for a salary study, and that we are currently filing and finishing the contract with a vendor. And that is to look at this globally across the board at titles that are out of alignment in many places so that we can identify and have a baseline for looking at this more systemically and to bring forward recommendations for negotiation through collective bargaining with the union and for the budget process to deal with this in a more comprehensive way.
I have one more comment. So the only thing I really take out of this is the fact that we're a limited crew, right, that maintains everything. So some people are associated with a building. We do all the buildings, right? The door knob breaks, we got to go fix it. Somebody crashes into a building, we go and fix it. TWI guy runs through a place in New Paltz yesterday, I'm going to fix it tomorrow. Bathroom breaks, we fix it. But there's not a lot of us, right? So if there were 500 electricians, you needed 500 electricians, we'd be a volume of people that you wanted to keep happy, right? So if all of us left, the county's screwed. Or they'd go back to the practice of spending money on people that, you know, are campaign donors or power reports. But, you know, because everyone here works out of title, stuff we do on a daily basis, we won't have to do.
Contractors are prevailing.
Yeah, $135.
Can I have a motion to postpone 1 month?
Yes, sir. I'll make that motion.
Second.
Are we postponing this or are we creating a new resolution? I'll be questioning on that.
He's asked for a postponement, so we're right now postponing. Second. Mr. Murphy. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Thank you. And thank you for the comments tonight.
Thank you guys for listening to us, please.
No,
thank you.
You're resolution 670. Can I have a motion?
Motion.
Second.
Second.
Discussion. All those in favor? Opposed? Carried. 671. Can I have a motion?
Motion.
Second. Second.
Mr.
Second. Discussion. All those in favor? Somebody had a. You were pointing at somebody listening.
I didn't see the list, but
that's what we're saying. Oh, I thought you had a second. Okay, I got it. Thanks. All those in favor? Opposed? Okay. Forthcoming resolutions. Comptroller Gallagher.
Thank you, Chair Forrest. I want to just update the committee and other legislators in the room on a few items, and I'll be brief on those. I just thought it would be good after the budget presentation to let you know sales tax that we're 3.2% above last year at the same time.
occupancy tax right now is 96% budgeted for the year, so we're going to close that out well. And then I wanted to just let you know the audits that we're working on right now. We just got the papers back on a health insurance audit. We're in the middle of the CARES 1 audit. We're doing an investment policy audit follow-up, and we'll be launching an audit letter on corporate compliance in the coming days on the corporate compliance program. Happy to take any questions.
Any questions on the controller? Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Motion to adjourn.
Mr. Chairman, under new business, old business, can I bring something up? I know it's been a long night for everybody, but we do have a litigation between the controller and the county executive, which for the most part, none of us know what it's about. There's also a cost to that litigation, you know, whether it be outside attorneys. Is there some kind of problem between the executive and the controller that needs a policy to straighten it out by us? I know this is a matter of litigation. Can we go into executive session to talk about this? Or do we want to have that done another night or maybe at laws and rules?
In my opinion, I think considering that it does affect the entire body, although most are here, I would say it probably should be on a session with the body.
Can we schedule for this coming session?
Up to the chair.
Chair?
You're asking for an executive session. I mean, anyone can make a motion for it.
No, what we're asking is, do we want to do it now, or do we want to do it, or I think Kevin's point is, let's go ahead and do it with everyone here now, unless, and then John's point was, well, we could always do it before session, but if we're going to do it before session, it's up to you to tell us you're going to schedule it before session.
Yes, Madam Chair, I don't want to step on your toes or anything.
Yeah, I mean, I would defer to everyone right now. Again, anyone can make a motion to go into executive session. If you're looking to have a scheduled portion of the evening to go into executive session to discuss this, we could contemplate that. So, you know, session nights will be making public wait if the public comes to participate in the show. So that's the one downside of that.
I'll just comment. The reason I wasn't implying that we can just do it whenever, I was more taking the fact that we have legislators who didn't know we were going to discuss this tonight, and out of fairness to them, to be present on a night where every legislator is should be and was expected to be present. There are some who are not. I was trying to be fair to them. I don't have an issue with doing it tonight. I just felt they were not aware that this would be discussed, and in consideration of them not being here, I was trying to be fair.
Can I ask, and this is really mostly right now for Legislator Roberts since he brought it up, and speaking in general terms, since there is litigation, but both of the parties have issued press releases on the subject. Are you interested in hearing from both of the parties? Because only one's here right now. Are you interested in hearing both of the parties to hear what's actually going on? Or
I believe there's members of the executive staff here that maybe could answer questions or tell us what's going on. I mean, when people ask me about it on the street, I know pretty much nothing about it, you know, what's going on. I mean, as legislators, I think we're entitled to, you know, get the skinny on it, so to speak.
Yeah, I mean, and Dennis, like, I don't know how the executive staff feels about that. I would say since the comptroller's here, we'd want to give the executive the opportunity to speak as well herself, if that's what she wanted.
You know, I don't want to litigate it here.
I hear you. No, and we would go into executive session for sure. I mean, we could do one of two. We could go into an executive session right now to have initial discussion since we're talking about something, and that could even be just the legislature with counsel. Or we could endeavor to see if there's some way to have ways and means earlier. I mean, that would be the, if this were going to be something that was happening on session night, and again, I can't stop it from happening on session night. If you wanted to call an executive session to discuss and the motion moved, we'd go into an executive session. But
the one thing that concerns me is the amount of time with public waiting and asking the public to clear the room and et cetera.
Can I ask council, legislative council, maybe what you think is the proper process of, you know, what's going on?
Well, it would seem that it would be best to have both sides represented by whoever they want to have. It would seem to make sense to have both sides prepare to discuss the claim with their representatives present. It may make sense to give a little advance notice for that.
Madam Chair, do you think maybe a special night?
You know what? Actually, we have the two nights of public hearings. I mean, what I could definitely say is that I could reach out. I could speak to council tomorrow, and I can also speak to the comptroller's office, the comptroller directly, and the exec directly. And then I can get back to the body, and I'll coordinate with Chair of Ways and Means. I would say that everyone should be prepared potentially to have Ways and Means start earlier next week, potentially significantly earlier, so that we could potentially have the time to deal with it in advance of that 7 o'clock, because we have a public hearing, so we have to be on time for the 7 o'clock. There's no way around that. We're having a public hearing, but there still may be public that's coming for whatever's on our agenda.
All right, hold on.
But I will commit to doing that if everyone's okay.
All right, let me go back in order for a second. Legislator Nolan?
I was going to make the suggestion that council has made. I think we need to have the parties aware in advance that there would be this type of discussion and let them prepare for it and bring it to us.
Okay, Legislator Hewitt? Hold on. Legislator Hewitt?
If any legislators haven't read it yet, you can see in the case of the wire, Comptroller Gallagher's perspective and also County Executive Metzger's perspective.
Mr. Criswell.
Similar to what I was going to request, if there's anything in writing that we should see, please make sure that we see it beforehand.
Okay. In terms of starting me early, I have no issue with just you seated me at 4, so Legislator Cahill, I know that impacts him, but I have no issue starting earlier with the meeting. Chair Bartel.
Just following on Legislator Hewitt's request to the clerk, if those two documents that were released through the wire can be circulated to all members, just in case people don't have the wire or haven't read it. If they could be circulated directly, that would be great. Thank you.
Make a motion to adjourn.
Second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Thank you all.